Hello, this is Yaro Starik, and welcome to another interview with an expert online entrepreneur. And on the call today, I have a very interesting case study for you, something that I personally really have very little understanding of how to go about doing this. So I'm going to learn as much as everyone listening to this will. My guest is Jenna Bagwell, and she's come on board to talk about how she's making a six-figure income in the virtual worlds industry. In particular, Second Life is her claim to fame, or certainly the environment that she's most known for. And she's managing to make a living from that. So Jenna, thank you for joining me on this interview.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So as I said, I don't really know much about this industry, and I'd love to find out how you got into it and how you even figured out that you could make money from it. But we should probably start at the beginning. So are you, you know, born and raised? You sound like an American.
Correct. I'm from Hawaii, raised there. My dad was retired military over there. So basically from Honolulu. Hello, everybody out there.
I love Honolulu. Been there many, many times. Must be a great place to grow up to, I can imagine. Very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, and it's so isolated, so clearly you have to get into online gaming. Is that how this all started? Or
since I'm on a rock in the middle of the ocean, I had to find something to do. No, I wasn't really into computers. I basically got on the internet when I started college, and, because they require you to do all the research. So that's how I even started using my computer. I didn't even know how the whole thing ran.
And when was this? What year?
I'd say about 2000.
Okay, so we're a decade ago, and I'm not sure what the online gaming world was like in the year 2000. So maybe, you know, tell me how you got your computer and how that led to playing these games.
Yeah, I'd say we got our stones and we started chipping into the monitors. My goodness, back there, everything was just flat screens, you know. Some of the first online sites that I ventured onto was for my daughter, and one of those was Neopets. And back then, Neopets, founded by Adam Powell, was just a basic flat screen click, load, you know, no fancy flash and no, actual in virtual world playing. It was all just flat, you know, websites. But that's one of the first sites I stumbled upon, and I would just kind of play that site just for the entertainment value. I'd help my daughter to keep her little Neopets alive. You know, these virtual pets, and that's one of the first sites I kind of I just found it interesting. It just really intrigued me how dedicated these people were to keeping these virtual pets alive and their care and their maintenance. And you know, you and I sit here and think they're virtual pets, but you know, that I thought something clicked in me. I was stumbling on something right there. And I kind of, just kept going with that a little more to where I was, you know, kind of playing more than my daughter, I have to say.
Okay. But let me set the scene here. You got online first, because of university college. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you weren't studying a video game degree or anything like that. Yeah.
I was getting my nursing degree.
Okay. And were you married with your daughter at this point, or when did the family come into this?
Oh, no, I was I was married at the time, my former marriage, unemployed and going through college, living with my folks, the whole, you know, living with your parents, trying to raise a kid, kind of finished college story.
Okay. So your daughter was playing with Neopets. You're going to college. Mm-hmm. And you're both trying to keep these pets alive. That's how this entry into the online gaming world began. So definitely not your typical, in my experience, I grew up playing console games. And then with computers, with the internet, it's a completely different world, isn't it? You have this opportunity to interact with other people and so on. So how did Neopets, where did that take you next?
So basically when I was in Neopets, I started guilds in there, and I kind of helped people back then, consulting them the best way. It was just weird how I just got into the whole, you know, advising people, even with the little virtual pets. My guild grew to be one of the biggest in Neopets, and with all those people, I think I had about 25,000 members. I started a website, and with that, it just kept growing and growing.
Wait, you got to slow down here, Jenna. What's a guild?
I'm sorry. I'm just going to throw all these virtual jargons at you. A guild is basically a group, you know, a website group that's, you know, kind of like a WoW group, or a, you know, just a site that's dedicated where players can go to get information on how to...
So it's a fan site.
Yes, much. Yeah,
and
basically.
And it's a community, and I'm assuming they have a forum or a bulletin board, and they interact, and you
Correct.
Can trade strategies and talk about what you're doing, and assumingly everyone is extremely addicted to these games, so they're doing as much research as they are playing.
Mm-hmm. That
okay.
is right.
So you do that with NeoPets. Was that the first game you actually started to make an income with, or was it later on?
No, I wasn't making income with that. Of course, the site, you know, was drawing a little bit of income because of all the number of hits and people visiting it. Then it kind of branched out. These people went off and made a site called Power Pets, and they asked if I'd come in and do some consulting because they wanted to know how to get people to be as dedicated to that site as they were Neopets. So I started working with
When you say Power they, you mean the creators of the Neopets game.
Right.
Wow, so
Power Pets was created by a different person, but they basically ran on the same concept as Neopets.
And they found you through Neopets.
Correct.
So you showed up as like a power user kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, we're starting this and we want your advice on how to grow it. And
yeah.
Okay.
And I was still just giving the advice for free, you know, because I just enjoyed it. They gave me my own account and I had all these nice things. So I had a flash account and that was my payment, you know, the status.
Yep.
So I still wasn't making the money, but I was kind of building a reputation as, you know, giving advice and consulting. And through there, of course, someone introduced me to Anarchy Online, and that was my first actual going into a virtual world where I had an avatar and I was running around in this virtual world. And their company basically wanted to draw their website wanted to draw the fans to generate basically an income for their site because they wanted to be able to sell the virtual items of Anarchy Online, the currencies, the equipment. And so they had me go in there and kind of look around and see what was, you know, what worked and what didn't. And that's what I did. I went in there and we basically consulted them on how to set up their website, and they started selling the currencies. And I kind of was able to learn from that, oh, wow, these people are actually making money through that. So
you've got to explain to me, though, everyone suddenly is trusting you, hiring you as a consultant. These are like the game developers, right? So you clearly built a reputation. I'm assuming that's just from playing the games an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, anybody that knows, when you're in one of those worlds like World of Warcraft or, you know, Anarchy, and you have a high level character and, you know, your name starts getting known around and everything. And, you know, I guess your name just gets known. And I kept the same name similar through all my games. So people would say, oh, I remember you from such and such. Or did you ever play, you know, this game? Or a lot of people kept remembering me from Neopets. They're like, oh, I can't believe it's you from Neopets. And I was like, oh, you play Anarchy. Wow.
Now, there's a lot of people like you in the sense that they play these games an awful lot. They learn a lot about it. They become experts. But most of them don't build a business around it. So... Mm-hmm. You know, you said you set up a website, you said you started consulting, like where did these ideas come from, and how did you even go about, you know, setting up a website? Was this all done by yourself?
Well, my first own website didn't start till Second Life, because still in Anarchy, I was basically doing my consulting. Back then, they would give me items to sell, you know, because they were still found, you know, building their website, and so they would pay me with virtual items, and those virtual items I would sell on eBay. And that's the first time I started making money, and I was surprised, and I was like, oh, I can actually make money. And then through that, I found someone that told me, well, have you heard about Second Life? I can't remember who it was, but they really wanted me in there. They said they stumbled upon it and they wanted my info. And I went to Second Life. And back then, oh goodness, it was so young. There was only about 20,000 members. And I went in there, and at first I was just, it seemed pointless because you go in there and you're this ugly avatar with crappy clothes in this virtual world. And I didn't understand it, but I stuck to it because, you know, like if you just go into every world and, you know, say, oh, this isn't for me and leave, you're never going to quite know if there's any opportunity. I don't know how, it just kind of, I don't know why, but some reason I was able to, when I go into a game or a world, I can kind of sit there. I'll play it, but I like the, what intrigues me is why other people play it, how dedicated they are and how, you know, you'll see people left and right trying to, you know, pay someone for something. And that's what draws me in there.
Yep. So you've got that marketer/psychologist brain that a lot of entrepreneurs have where they, I call it meta thinking. You want to know the motivation behind the actions, and that's when you can spot the business opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing, well, actually, one thing I'd like to clarify first for anyone listening who's not familiar with any of these online games. So before you said, you know, you go into this online game and you become well known, and then the creators of the game are, or people are getting consulting from you or just getting advice from you, and you're getting paid in items that are of value in the game, and other people will be willing to actually buy those items from you with real world currency. So you would go to eBay and say, I've got, well, what's an example of something you sold early on?
The first things I ever sold was an Anarchy Online, and I sold some type of pack. I can't even remember what it was to this day, but it sold for over $300 on eBay. And I was just floored. I was like, you know, I put it up for bid and it went over 300. And I was like, okay, you keep giving me these packs and I'll give you advice. Sure. I was like, give me more of these things.
What are these packs? Like, why are they so valuable?
Well, somehow your character wears it and it makes your character armors and it improves your character somehow to where, you know, you're able to play the game with more efficiency, I guess. And I mean, people were just buying this stuff up, and the currency back then was selling for really good U.S. dollars. I think it was about 50,000. Anarchy was worth about over $200 U.S. dollars on PayPal, through eBay and PayPal. So it was people were willing to spend a lot of money to have an elite character.
Right, and it sounds like these games are almost manufacturing their own currency in a lot of ways. If the game becomes popular enough, there's demand for the things inside the game to improve your character. And that's why there's this sort of aftermarket of trading going on eBay. And that's how you made your money. So how did that sort of, you know, $300 sale of items from games turn into a six-figure business? Can you take us through the next part?
Sure. So I did that for a while. You know, I was continuing the online work. And when I entered, the big kind of income, of course, did not happen until when I entered Second Life. I got my foot in that door early. I saw a window there that, you know, since it was a new game, because a lot of other games you go in there and they're really established. But this wasn't a game. It was a world. There was no game. There's no killing. There's no running around. It's just you in a world. And I couldn't think. I'm like, well, what's going to keep someone here? And one of the first things I noticed when I was there was, you know, the social aspect. You know, you're meeting people of different ethnicities, different ages, and you just sit around and talk. And so it's kind of like a virtual chat room. And I wanted to continue that. And I thought, well, how can I, you know, do anything in here to kind of generate more people to congregate in one area? And, you know, because right now I first did not think about making the money. I just wanted to like kind of get to know the world and get to know the people. And so I formed a club, a virtual club in this virtual world, and it was called The Edge. And through that, it grew. And when people were there,
just clarify this. When you say a club, this is not like you're an offline physical world club. This is actually within the game itself, like a bar sort of thing?
Yeah, it was an actual structure. And that's one of the great things about Second Life is everything that's in there is built by the users. So if you want a house, you can either, make the prim, which is a square, circle, cylinder, and you have to stretch it and you have to throw textures on it and you have to make your windows. You actually build and create what's in this world, from the animations that make the avatar dance to the to all the textures. Everything in the world is user created. You know, the content is created by the users. And that's one of the things that really, really intrigued me. So as I built this virtual club, which it was an actual structure with disco lights and a DJ booth, and people would come in and we had music and their avatars would actually dance. I knew that there was something here. I something just clicked inside, and I knew that there was something really, really good in here, because I met people. One of the gentlemen I met, he was a quadriplegic, and he said he was having a blast being able to dance in this virtual world. And so I just knew there was a great opportunity here. I continued with the Edge, and just so many people just kept showing up. I eventually had to expand, because in the virtual world, there are servers, and each server is the amount of land that your avatar can explore. And so, you know, it's only a certain amount of distance, and then there's the next server, which is another virtual land. And they're all connected, so you can go from one virtual area to another.
Like countries. So
correct. I don't know if you had actually gone into the virtual world of Second Life. You kind of have to go in there to – I try to explain it to people, and I'm like, you have to go in there to see it. It's basically the Matrix, but with really bad graphics.
Yeah.
So they just kept building, and it got to the point where, you know, the Edge, I was paying people with the virtual currency to DJ, to build for me. And so I, you know, if I'm paying people, I knew I had to make an income, and this is still with virtual currency. I'm still not pulling anything out into the real world dollars. And I knew that, you know, the clothes I was wearing, the everything I was doing was made by somebody. And if they're making money when I'm buying it, why can't I? So I started making user content, and making, you know, started making my Linden dollars, I guess. And as the Edge grew...
Wait, so how did you do that? Like, what you said, you're making the Linden dollars, which is the currency of the game. How did you – did you sell something in there? Did you charge the entry into the – did you buy drinks? Like, you sell drinks in the bar? Yeah. Is that how it works? Or
one of the first – it's funny because people say, well, I can't create anything, you know. And I tell them that one of the first things I ever made, I took this – it was a – you know, you have to res, which means it'll all of a sudden create the square prim in front of you. You hit build and you hit square and it'll create the square prim. And all it was is a square box in front of me. And I threw a diamond texture on there. I shrunk it down and I threw it in my belly button. It was a little belly button gem. And I thought it was the cutest thing. It was the first thing I ever created in this virtual world. And someone saw it and she said, what is that? I said, it's a belly button gem. And my avatar was wearing it. And she's like, can I have one? And I was like, well, I did create it. I was like, can I have 100 Linden, which is, you know, a fraction of a dollar. And she's like, sure. And she gives me the money. And I'm like, oh, yes. Yeah, there's something here.
So that's your first sale of your business.
Yeah, my first sale. A little... virtual square gem, belly button gem. There you go.
Yeah, amazing.
So I just started creating things on my pastime and putting them in vendors. Vendors are basically the, it's kind of like a billboard, and people can come up to it and they click on the button and it'll display all the items inside. I mean, these items are all scripted, so it's not, you know, there's really good programs in there. And you have this virtual store, which is that billboard, and people can come up and browse your items and they can buy it. So I just started creating things on my past, on the pastime, just, you know, for fun and putting it for sale. And when people would come working for me, you know, I'd say, you know, well, I would kind of help them. I'm like, you know, because they wanted to be able to make money too, and I'd help them. And it just kept growing, the people wanting to work for me and people coming to the Edge, and it grew so big. I basically needed more than just the Edge to have them to bring the traffic, basically. And because there were so many
premises, is what you're kind of saying.
Basically,
right?
Yeah, because I had so much sales in the world. So I made my website. That's when I first made my website, and I was selling you know, the currency, basically, because I had so much currency coming in through the club and through my sales and through people started paying me for the that's when I started getting paid for consulting. They were paying me on Linden.
Okay.
And so of course I then had to convert it.
Clarify to me.
I just jumped.
So your first sale is a little belly button diamond piece of jewelry for like half a dollar. and then you're suddenly growing into like a large factory with people coming in and working for you. I'm assuming you're sharing a cut with them as well, right? So mm-hmm. So you have the location and you have the goods and you have people working for you. So this is an analogy of a real world physical business manufacturing a product and selling it to people, but you're doing it all in an online video game, virtual mm-hmm. world.
Yeah, they don't like it when you say game. They're like, there's no game about it.
Sorry, it's not a game. That one's virtual world.
So, I learned that too. They're like, it's not a game. I'm like, okay.
It's real for a lot of people. Can you give me just a little bit more breakdown of what else you sold? Like, are you talking like a whole product suite? From clothing to cars to all that sort of stuff?
Basically, because people loved The Edge so much, they wanted to sell things through it. And I had places where people could set up their vendors, which basically are little virtual shops. You make these little booths and people come and they rent the booths and they'll sell their things. And I would see some things and if I liked it, I knew I wanted a piece of it if I knew it was going to make money. And I'd offer them, I basically started buying people's virtual businesses. They would create a line of, like, say, avatar skins. And I mean, your avatar, you know, because you get an ugly avatar. And you can purchase this skin, which is basically a layer that goes over your avatar that enhances the, it's basically makeup and shading, it gives you nice little abs and so forth. And so people, I mean, the skins were selling really good, and I would basically offer them, you know, like money to buy out their company, and they would basically give me full rights to resell it. And so I was doing that. I was buying people's virtual goods
from skins, right?
Correct. Skins to clothing to animations, because people had to be able to dance, and people created these dance using Poser, the program Poser, and that even sold. So anything I saw that would enhance an avatar, I bought or made.
Okay. Now, I'm getting a picture. Now, you're basically becoming like, you almost like own a shopping mall. Your club had market mm-hmm. stalls. When you saw a good product, you made an offer to buy the entire company, so you had rights to keep selling it. The Linden dollars that people use to purchase all these goods, where are they getting that from? Are they spending real money to buy that currency?
Yes. Second Life, they give people a stipend every week, which is basically, I say, nothing. I think you get 500 Linden, but with that, you can, you know, it does not go far. Right. And people do buy the currency. I started generating so much currency. I started selling it on eBay, and that grew too much. I think they regulated it a bit. So I, of course, went to my website and started selling it there. And people can buy their currency. Back then, there was an actual website where you can buy and sell currency. It since had been bought out by Second Life. So you can do it actually right there on the website. But people can buy and sell the currency in world and on websites. I started doing that. I started selling the currency for real world dollars.
Right. So this currency has like a trade value in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. Right. So, and does that fluctuate as well?
It does. And they do keep a good track of that on their site. It basically, you know, supply and demand. Basically, currently, 1,000 Linden is equivalent to, I want to say, $3.65.
Yeah, so it's like a country with a cross rate to the United States dollar.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that there's an actual iPhone app that has the Linden exchange rate on it. I was like, oh, look at that. That's handy.
Okay, now to bring this back to the real world, mm-hmm. You're still studying your nursing at this stage, and are you mm-hmm. cashing in your Linden dollars to buy your food, your groceries, you know, live your life? Is that how you do it?
Yes, because at that time when I first started, you know, I'll say I was on food stamps. I was on welfare, you know, because I was trying to go through college. I was trying to raise my daughter. And I started, you know, trying to report this income to the government saying, you know, oh, I'm making some money online. And, you know, the government, they want to know how. And I try to explain to them, and they just look at me puzzled, and they say, okay, well, just report it. I'm serious. My caseworker had no idea what I was talking about.
And I thought I had troubles with explaining, like, money from blogging, but wow, yeah, this is way harder.
Yeah, this was back in, like, 2004 to 2006. Uh-huh. And whenever I told people, you know, virtual world, you know, they assume, you know, like, they'll think of World of Warcraft and and I tried to explain it, and nobody was grasping it. And I just basically would give them the URL, you know, and say, go in there and look. And then afterwards, they'd be like, oh, okay. So, yeah, so it got to the point where I was making a good income. I was able to support myself, you know, get off the government assistance. And it kept coming in. And I tried to tell my parents, you know, I tried to explain to my parents, but it's like trying to tell your parents how a DVD player works when they are used to VHS. Mm. They just, you know, they're like, oh, whatever. All you do is sit in front of a screen, you know. So they wanted me to
drive up with your Porsche, right?
Yeah. They wanted me to finish my degree. And of course, you know, I was into my third year. So I was like, okay, I'll finish my nursing degree. And if this, you know, I always have that to fall back in case, you know, because every virtual world and opportunity has, you know, it can have its time period and, you know, it can end. Mm. So I did want something to fall back on. I finished my degree. But after I got my degree, I just kept working in the world. I kept establishing this foundation of my business. And it started getting to the point where things were kind of more self-sufficient. I found myself needing to spend time in the world less because it kind of ran itself. Because once you build that foundation, it just starts, you know, the trickle becomes bigger and bigger to where there's a nice little flow. And it requires little effort on your part, and it continues to go.
Okay, so you basically had a passive income stream from your presence in this online world. And right. It sounds very similar to owning a website where you're getting traffic from Google coming in organically, so you're not paying for the traffic. You're selling like an ebook or something, so there's no manufacturing costs, and that money can keep coming, assuming there's still demand. So in your case, you own this facility inside the game, or a building, a place to go that's popular. People keep going there, I presume, because of word of mouth and just habit. They keep going back. It's like when there's people there, people go there. It's like that eBay effect, right? Where as long as you've got the audience, you retain the audience. So you like have a popular club, basically. and you have stores in there that you sell these things. And people, I presume if they're playing these games religiously, they're going in there continuing to buy these goods, and you're sitting at home, and this is all happening virtually while you're sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
So I also did, because I had such a huge traffic coming into the virtual world, I was able to script it and program it to where it would draw the people out of the virtual world and direct them to my various websites and my because then I started building my, you know, more of a presence out of world, you know, bringing that traffic to my websites. So through Second Life, you know, you can use that to increase whatever websites and domains you have.
Okay. So did you build all those websites yourself, or did you get big enough that you can hire people?
Yeah, one of the first websites I did myself, and it was such an HTML hack job. But, you know, it functioned. That's why I tell people, I'm like, I am not a programmer. You know, I know the basic HTML. I know how to make an image link to a URL. And I made a website and that sold Linden, and I made money off of it. And with that, I was able to, yeah, pay someone to make a better website. So you don't have to be a programmer. And that's a great thing. You don't have to be an expert at anything when you go into these virtual worlds, because you'll find, you know, you're going to find that a way to make it happen. I have to say, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know how to program. I didn't know how to build. I didn't know how to do any of that. And I was able to.
What is on your website though? Is it just like a shopping cart?
One of my websites, that is most known is Gamers Fix, GamersFix.com. And that's basically, I mean, if you go to that site, it's not pretty. You know, I'm revamping it, but it functions, you know, and to this day it functions. People can go there and they can purchase the Linden in the virtual world, because I also do rent servers, which is basically, you know, the virtual land and worlds that people live in. So that is a functioning site, and it works. It's not pretty, but it functions.
Right. And I'm assuming you're not the only person doing this. There's lots of people who make a living from these online worlds.
Oh, yes. There's a couple that I met, and I never thought I can't grasp it, but they made virtual horses. and you breed the horses, and that horse makes another horse with different attributes. And it's huge. People love getting these horses, breeding them, and they'll contact me needing to rent land because their horse has to breed. And they're frantic about it. And I'm just like, okay, here's your land here.
So you're a land dealer as well?
Correct. Yes, I deal with a virtual real estate. I'm kind of like the Trump of Second Life. Well, I'd say one of the. There's people that own a lot more land than I do.
How can one person go about owning land? Though? Doesn't the game manufacturer, like the company behind the game, own the land?
Basically, Linen Labs and Second Life, they put out the server, and the server is basically land. An ocean and water, skies, it's a virtual world, a section. And we have to pay them to rent it. And then, of course, we can cut it up into smaller pieces and rent those pieces out.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like an apartment building.
You're just a property developer. I get it.
You name it, I've done it in Second Life. I've checked that, because I can't, I was so intrigued with every aspect. I just kept... I wanted to dabble in everything. And that's when I started doing my consulting because people were wondering, well, how can you make money? And I'm like, how can you not make money?
So how much time does this take you?
Well, back then, I was really, currently I'd say I'd log in a couple hours a week, just to make sure everything's running smoothly, check on things, make sure, if anybody needs assistance with servers, I have people can contact me in world and it goes to my email. And if they need me, then I can go and log in. So it's very mobile, wherever you can take your computer or your phone, you have access somehow to the virtual world. It's just running by itself basically. But back then when I first started, it took some time, cause building and creating, it's kind of like the world, now it's not going to happen instantly. You have to actually sit down and actually physically make the stuff, like make the ebook. And then once you put it out there, it's there.
Mm. And that leads me to an obvious question. If I was brand new at this, I'm assuming people who are interested in this opportunity have to at least be prepared to spend a bit of time in the actual virtual world. It's not like, have some sort of interest in doing that. Or really, can you look at this purely as a business opportunity?
Well, there are some people, I've had people with MBAs come in and say, I know what I'm doing. I have a degree in economics and so forth. And they have no clue. And they'll come to me saying, okay, how do you do this? And so I have to sit down. Some people I have to sit down with hours and go through things with them and, help them, get started. And there's other people that come in and they had have a good idea, and they run with it and it works. They'll just tell me, sorry, say again.
When you say they had a good idea, it's like being an entrepreneur in the virtual world, right? They might think, so there's breeding horses. Let's start up some sort of service to do custom cars. Mm-hmm. Would that be the sort of business idea you might have that you could run with in a virtual world?
Basically, we've had real world companies. There's been Coca-Cola and Nissan. The real world companies are also coming in and they're trying to find a way to draw the traffic of Second Life to, increase their they're basically advertising.
Marketing.
Mm-hmm. One of the people I worked with, they were out of Nashville and they promoted artists. So we would feature unsigned artists at the Edge and they'd come and perform their music. He was just turned 18 because back then there was a teen grid that separated the underage from over 18. And he designed a park. He designed a park in the virtual world and was paid in real world for his design, which they used in real world to design this park. So he made quite a bit of money from that. And then he switched over to the adult, the main grid basically for age 18 and over. And he wanted to continue going on, so he kind of went in there, did one thing and, did well.
Right. So. It's kind of like crowdsourcing for game or world development in that sort of sense, isn't it? So because we've got a limitless world and you need people to create things in the world to make it worthwhile, then there's opportunities for creative people who are willing to put some time in to create this value, and then other people will want to experience it. And I assume most people are players but not creators in the game. Would that be
correct? I mean, it's you know, yeah, it's I equivalent to like the you know, there's always the supply and demand, and if there's more creators than social users, then it's going to be oversaturated. So there are enough social players to, you know, need all these creations that we make that are being made.
Okay. So just to sum up the opportunity that exists based on how you're doing it, you went into this virtual world, you set up a place that became popular. You then used it to start selling goods, first of your own, and then other people came and you bought certain people's businesses and sold their goods. Then you realized that to take it out into the sort of a way outside of the world, you created your own website, which you could then sell the goods and the money to make real money. So people would buy, I assume, through PayPal to pay you. And this all happens automatically, even while you're sleeping. So the stuff for sale is for sale in the game world. They can buy it through your website using real money, and that's how you make your income, which is over six figures a year now. Is that a correct summary?
Yes.
Okay. So for the very interested person listening to this, especially not to stereotype, but I think a work at home mom, this sounds like a great opportunity for someone who would, you know, is sitting at home, is willing to spend some time in a virtual world. And, you know, working home dads too, I don't want to discriminate there. How would you start? Like, what would be the first step?
First step is downloading the program and then contacting me. Basically, yeah, I am setting up, you know, basically a site that will help. It's called virtualprofitblueprint.com/Yaro, because if they, you know, if they go through you, of course, they'll get access. I'm kind of starting this whole online course to kind of help people with that. Currently, it's only open to my internal list of users through my site, but of course, if they sign up through you, they can get in there. Okay. And I kind of cover over that because through Second Life, also, I have branched out and exploring other things. For a while, there was another virtual world starting up out of Hawaii called Blue Mars. And, you know, even mobile, I'm kind of exploring different mobile apps, you know, because, you know, there are virtual worlds now on your iPhone and Android. One of them that I'm in is called Order and Chaos. And that kind of intrigues me because not only is it like World of Warcraft, but it's on your phone. So it's mobile with you. And it's, you know, through Second Life, I'm branched out into all these other virtual worlds that, you know, each has its own opportunity for, you know, users to create income, basically.
All right. So just give us a taste of your consulting ability here, Jenna. So, you know, let's say they've downloaded Second Life. We'll try and make this as simple as possible. We'll focus on Second Life. You know, this is a great, I guess, way for them to also taste whether this is something a person would want to do, because maybe they're not sure this is the right kind of, like, I know for me, it's not my cup of tea because I'm not interested in spending time in a virtual world. But I'm sure there's lots of people who are and probably already do, in the sense that they play these games or spend time in these virtual worlds already. So to get some sort of payback as well, what would be, like, is the first thing to set up their own place and actually start becoming a creator? Is that the right first step?
Well, I mean, I've had companies come in and they say the same things. Well, what do I do first? And I've had some of the top consultants from Bear Stearns and Wired Magazine when they want to come explore. And I say the first thing to do is, you know, download it and go in world and keep an open mind and just, you know, fly around. Your avatar can fly. I tell them explore and keep an open mind, because, you know, there are adult oriented things in this virtual world. But if that's all you see, any virtual world you go to, you're going to run into that. I tell them to explore and kind of just learn the, you got to learn the basics. You have to be able to talk to other people. You have to learn how to chat and open your, you know, just kind of like the intro, the basics of using your avatar. And then once they have established an avatar, you know, and they can kind of know how to use it and how it works, because there's so many aspects, I tell them, you know, now build something, build a doghouse, build a beach ball. And, you know, that gets them into the creative side. And because they kind of have to explore what the world offers before they can find out, you know, what they're interested in, you know, because if you're not interested in it, you're not going to stick with it. And then some people, you know, they come in with an intent. They say, well, I have a website and I want to do this. And then I can direct them more saying, okay, well, you obviously are wanting to pull the traffic from this virtual world. Here's how you do it, you know. And there's some people that want to come in and just, you know, I want to create something and make a lot of money. And I kind of giggle. Okay. It's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, you got to find basically, you know, supply and demand. Well, what are you going to make that hasn't been made already, you know? So they have to create something, and if they want to create something they find a niche or they find, you know, buyers, then yeah, they can, you know, they can make money.
So you're basically saying go into the world, learn the tools, then do your market research to see what things are in demand. It's very much like the real world, and then go and manufacture some things and try and sell them and see how you go. And if I was a stay-at-home mom or dad, this is like a great opportunity for people who, you know, they're not necessarily good writers. So, you know, blogging or, you know, creating ebooks or information products might seem too daunting. They like the idea of creating, I guess you could say anything. It's like manufacturing without the cost of manufacturing. This is a great business opportunity.
Correct. You know, I've met, you know, like couples and moms and dads and everybody I've met that I've consulted has found their niche. They're the thing that keeps them in there, the thing that can, you know, and some people, all they want to do is make some extra money for Christmas. And some people want to start supplementing their real world income. And it depends on, you know, just how far you want to go, that, you know, how much time you'll need to dedicate and put into it.
What's the reason why everyone doesn't do this, though? It's obviously not that easy. Is it simply the workload required, or you have to be creative? Like, what is it?
A lot of people, the weird thing is a lot of people I meet, they go in there, you know, they'll say, oh, I read your article in Playboy magazine. Yes, I was an article, they'll say, I read you in this magazine or this book. How do I make money? And I'm like, you know, if it was that simple, yeah, nobody would come to me for consulting, you know. They just want to go in there and they lack the patience. Or they'll want to do something that they saw someone else do, but they, you know, because they didn't have the passion or the interest, you know, they'll lose interest and they'll just quit. You know, a lot of people just quit before they really find what it is they need to be doing in there. I was getting my degree in nursing and I ended up becoming a virtual consultant, you know, so you can't base what your niche is or what you can do in a virtual world based on what you do in real world. I had a lady that was a lawyer, and she made her money making virtual babies. She makes these, yeah, they're babies. They cry and you have to feed them. It's, you know, it's kind of like punishment in a virtual world, but people buy these virtual babies and they're, you know, like it reminded me of Neopets. They were so dedicated. They wanted to make sure the baby was fed and they would rent my land. And I had a lady, she didn't pay her rent, basically. You know, if they rent my land, they have to pay every week. And of course, I have to clear the land to find a new renter. And she was so mad. She was so mad. I returned her virtual baby. I could not, you know, she was very upset.
Wow. You repossessed someone.
Yeah. I sent, you know, I threw a mom and her virtual baby on the street.
You're evil. Okay, Jenna, we'll wrap it up. Just to give people an idea, where are you now? You've got several kids. I know before we started this conversation, you had to get the kids off to school. So I'm assuming you're a mom, obviously.
Yes.
And is a typical day in your life, get the kids off to school, then do you do a bit of work still in this business, or, you know, how's your life like?
I wake up, I get the kids off to school. I'll drink some coffee. I'll watch some TV. I'll play. I venture actually. the world of Second Life is basically self-sustaining, as with some of my other websites and virtual worlds. You build it to where it's self-sustaining, kind of like a website, kind of like, you know, with ebooks. And right now, currently, I'll spend time exploring other virtual worlds or other virtual games and consulting. So I will might spend a couple in the world of Second Life. I will spend maybe a few hours in that. But, you know, I like to branch out. I like to keep exploring, you know. So my main time is, you know, enjoying my kids and enjoying my husband and my family. And I go biking. So I get to relax. And then I set my own hours. Yeah, it's a dream.
Are you in Hawaii?
No, I currently live in Missouri. I am landlocked now.
Ooh, that's I know. Gonna hurt. Well, yeah. You've always got the virtual world. You can go to the ocean anytime then, right?
Yep. So. Yep. Yeah, I got my. So yeah, you know, I'll decide. You know, someone will say, "Oh, can you check out this or check out that?" Or I'll hear about, you know, like I heard about Order and Chaos through another podcast. And I started checking that out, and so I'll keep exploring different opportunities. But you know, basically, the income I have now is self-sustaining. It's just you know, it doesn't require much effort at all.
Fantastic, Jenna. It sounds like a very unique and perhaps not that well-known opportunity to have an online business. So I'm really glad you could spend some time telling your story, and for me also hearing about the way this all works kind of blows my mind in many ways. I probably shouldn't be surprised that the virtual world is a reflection of the real world, but it still just kind of boggles my mind a little bit. You mentioned two websites in this. So first, if they want to check out like the website where you actually sell things, it was gamersfix.com. Can you spell that out one again?
It's GAMERZ or Z FIX.com.
Okay. And to find out more information about learning how to do this and make money from it, you had a URL?
Yes, that is virtualprofitblueprint.com/ERO. That way they can
virtualprofitblueprint.com/YARO, and then we'll know you came to Jenna via me and this podcast. Okay. Jenna, fantastic story. Thank you for that and bringing us up to date on this opportunity. I'm looking forward to letting everyone know that it's there, and I'm sure there'll be a few wide eyes after listening to this recording. The day has just started for you, so you probably got to watch some TV and then get onto the virtual world. So I'll let you get back to that. Thank you for joining me, and great stuff. Really interesting.
Thank you. I also am on Twitter, so if anybody wants to contact me, I am Jenna Fairplay on Twitter.
Okay, you want to spell that one out?
Oh, J-E-N-N-A for Jenna, and then last name is, Fairplay, F-A-I-R-P-L-A-Y.
All right. Jenna Fairplay on Twitter. Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing what you get up to next.
All right, great. Thank you. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this Entrepreneur's Journey interview podcast. If you'd like to grab more fantastic interviews with internet marketers and other successful entrepreneurs, please visit www.entrepreneurs-journey.com. And you can find a list there of all our fantastic podcast interviews by clicking the podcast interviews link in our navigation bar. My name is Yara Stark, and I'll catch you on another show very soon. Thank you. Goodbye.